Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord, the word of our God, will stand forever. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. Continue with him. The Holy Gospel is found in Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably Chesterton's most famous quote was that when men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything. In the immediate past, we've had two parallel high-profile stories. And that's what they are, stories. They're narrative accounts of events meant to display a greater truth about us. We've had two high-profile stories that have exploded in various ways. Ferguson, Missouri, not far from the St. Louis Seminary, by the way, was stoked for months as the example of out-of-control racist policing. Sifting through the quote-unquote eyewitness testimony, either a gentle giant minding his own business put his hands up and said, "Don't shoot," or an enraged thug attacked a policeman in his car who was following up on the report of a robbery. The grand jury believed one, while the St. Louis Rams and many others continue to say, "Hands up, don't shoot." Facts, truth, what people saw didn't impact belief, but just the opposite. Splitting in a different way was another death of a large black man. The same out-of-control racist cops story was peddled, joined by a story not of racism. The head officer on the scene was actually a black woman, but of a state out of control. What does it mean for a man in the prime of his life to be reduced to selling loose cigarettes on the street? And what does it mean that the state thought this activity so threatening to send a team of cops to arrest him? Don't stand between the state and its taxes. Once again, the grand jury decided no fault. We could collectively look at those 15 minutes of videotape and believe we were seeing three different things. Same event, different story. Paraphrasing Chesterton, we all believe something. And what we believe affects what we see. When we choose to reject Christ, we are not free of superstition, but paradoxically more open to folly. Instead of being united all as sinners in need of a Savior, we tell division stories of the righteous us and the wicked they. And we are so eager to tell those stories to justify ourselves that the truth gets run over in the process. Witness the third such tale this week told in Rolling Stone. I'm always amazed when people say that the Christian story is nothing but wish fulfillment. My first question, which I almost always have to bite my tongue really hard at, is, have you read it? Because the gospel story, maybe even more so than others, is full of these believing and seeing moments. The disciples and the crowds and the chief priests and even a Canaanite woman and a couple of Roman centurions are always witnessing Jesus and walking away with different stories. And Mark, the gospel writer, never resolves the differences as the all-knowing narrator, other than in this first verse of his gospel. Jesus is always this walking contradiction seen by others. Everybody wants Jesus desperately to declare his version of division so that they can justify themselves and vilify others. But he never does it. The Jesus story is not any wish fulfillment that I've ever seen, because it refuses to do so. The only reason anyone would accept it is supernatural conviction of its truth. C.S. Lewis understood it when he called himself the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England. And it starts right here at the beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. If you are the Christ, the Anointed One, and if you are the Son of God, a title that the Roman emperors like to give themselves, your preceding embassy should declare your glory. But this beginning is John the Baptist, out in the desert. The only thing that gathers out in the desert are madmen and revolutionaries, not emperors. Nobody's wish ever started out in the desert. From the moment they had set foot in it, ancient Israel grumbled about the desert, remembering the fruits and vegetables of Egypt. Yet the good news of Jesus starts out in the desert. That good news starts not in a palace with soft clothes, but in the desert with a man dressed in camel's hair. The good news of Jesus starts with the universal message of a baptism of repentance. The wish fulfillment story would be one that justifies us, but not them. The wish fulfillment would be a respectable beginning, a credible messenger, something that we could make a good story out of. But we get John, the eater of bugs. Why, then, did all Judea and all of Jerusalem go out to see John? It wasn't wish fulfillment. It wasn't because they liked the story. It was because they were convinced that he was a prophet. It was because this is always the story that God has told. It starts small and crazy. Abraham, get up and go. Moses, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. It starts with a cry. Everyone has gone their own way and made all of the paths crooked. It starts with simple things like water and waiting. The good news comes not how we would desire it, but in hidden ways. It comes in ways that other stories are all too believable or too desirable. We see the same facts, but can tell different stories. But that's the beginning of the good news. God has told his story. The good news is not a story that separates people. It doesn't allow us to declare ourselves righteous, because no one is made righteous by the law, especially not to their own. But all it asks is that we believe God's story, which is the only consistent, unbroken story since the creation of the world. We don't have to do anything. Indeed, we couldn't lift the strap of his sandal if we had to. But just believe. Watch. Wait. And tell the story. The stronger one comes. The one who baptizes not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Now, that stronger one appears in the next line, Jesus of Nazareth. And even John would ask him later, are you the one Or should we expect another? This one is not part of anyone's wish fulfillment. Nobody asks for the one who looks like a peasant from Galilee. Can anything good come from there? As Philip would say. Nobody asks for a king who comes without an army. Nobody asks for a prophet that no one believes. Nobody asks for the cross. But this is the story that God has chosen to tell. This is the beginning of the good news. Believe that this Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in this one, God forgives us. In this one, God makes all the paths straight. This one baptizes us with the Spirit. And this one will come again, that time in glory. The world is full of many stories. The vast majority of them are more polished and attractive than the one that I'm telling. The biggest thing that most of them have going for them is that there's a path we can justify ourselves. If we act in accordance with the stories of the world, we get to declare ourselves righteous. We are on the right side of history. We care. We are protecting our rights. We are building something great and glorious. Even the negative story. There is no God. Which means that nothing we do or say has any meaning. So I let myself off the hook because it's all meaningless. There are almost an infinite number of stories that we can believe. And we all have to believe something. What the gospel says is change the pronouns. He will take care of history. He cares. He will protect his people. He is building something glorious. He is. And was, and will be. If you find yourself as the subject of a story you think is the good news, it might be time to head to the desert. Part of that good news is that now the desert is never that far away. It's as close as your next prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The good news, the story that God tells. Jesus eats with sinners. The presence of the King is for those who will accept his grace, for those that trust his story. Amen.